You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's up, cuties? It's your favorites. We're back again. It's Stick and Rink episode 35, coming at you hot this time. We've got a great guest. Before we get to our interview and our entire episode, I do have to make a mention from our friends down at DraftKings. DraftKings.com, one of our sponsors at Stick and Rink here, the leader in daily fantasy for sports all across the globe. If you're looking to make some dollars, if you're looking to just find treasure and use your brain to your power here, definitely check it out. I know we've been hammering the Masters picks, and we've been talking a ton about Masters recently. Josh, you let me in on a secret about Jordan Spieth, how he's clowning people going into the tournament. That's a hot storyline going into the Masters, so I'm looking forward to it. Any of the people out there listening, use promo code THPN at sign up. That gets you a free $5 entry on your first deposit. So we'll allow us to give you extra money to make money, which we'll then ask a small fee for. Probably don't count on it, but expect it is what I'm saying. Other than that, guys, we're gonna get to our interview now. We're gonna get to our episode now. We are graced with the presence of Mr. Matt Hamilton on this podcast. We are privileged to have. Now, if this was an athlete, I would say like future all-star, future NHL or stuff like this. So I'm gonna just come out and say it. Future most important person on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Oscar
at the Oscars.
Leo award winning actor. Everyone's like, what the fuck is that?
Hottest guy in Hollywood. Worst Leafs fan ever. Just that's kind of T1 with every Leafs fan out there. But yeah, we're going to get the talks going. We've brought Matt on today, man. First of all, thanks for coming, Matt. I'll give you the floor for a second before I just ramble on about you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. This is fun. I don't know what the hell we're talking about, but you said sports and entertainment, and I'm in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Matt, first and foremost, what are you drinking over there?
A pint of the dark stuff.
Let's see. There you go. Oh, the good stuff.
Hey, there it is. Yeah. Love that.
So, hey, cheers.
cheers
to you guys.
Cheers.
I got my decaf tea here. How much of a hardo am I, guys? Looking to stay on top of my game here. Make sure I don't let the tongue slip a little bit. But, Matt, so.
Yo.
You and I used to work together for a couple months, and correct, it did not take me long to realize that every time I came on for shift, if there was a Jays game on, if there was a Leafs game on, I was pretty much making every drink because there's no way you're missing a pitch and at bat anything. So
I was like, checked out. So I'd been with the company for so long that I kind of had this like, if there's a game on, Matt's going to do that.
Yeah.
And back when Fat was around, if the game was close, I was going to go for a little walk to the sports bar where I could watch it with some volume. Guilty. You did a lot more work when I was working.
Yeah, and that's these guys have also worked with me, so that's saying something that I was doing any work whatsoever. But that's something we shared, man. Huge sports fans, and that could block out any responsibility that we had on the clock.
Anyone. Yeah.
All right, Josh, why don't you lead us in here, buddy? You take it where you want it to go.
Well, I want to go into acting.
Sure.
So right now you're a Hallmark actor, yes?
I've done Hallmark, yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's a phrase you use to call
someone. I don't want that to be known as a Hallmark actor. But
I think if anything, that's more of a jab, dude.
Tough look.
So when I said juvenile questions, what I meant was like just low key insults out here. Apparently,
yeah, perfect. Yeah, now this feels like a family reunion.
Yeah.
Okay, so how old were you when you got into acting?
When I got into acting, I actually haven't been acting that long with an agent.
Okay.
It's been about 11 years.
Oh, shit.
All right.
With an agent.
That's considered a long time.
Well, I mean, I'm 40, so.
Okay. Okay.
It's like, excuse me. I had done like in high school, I did some plays.
Right.
In like
right.
middle school. And then after that, I didn't really do much. And then I got my education in screenwriting.
Right.
So I had written a couple things and one thing placed in a contest. And I was young and I got an agent in New York and thought that was I was going to be rich. Yeah, update did not happen. and so then I started kind of just writing shorts and sketches to be in myself. Right. So we did that for a couple years and that was fun. Some of the shit I have taken down from YouTube because
might as well.
It maybe doesn't translate as well to 2021.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then a friend of mine, she's an actor. She was like, hey, you need to go to Vancouver. I was in Victoria at the time. You need to go to Vancouver, get an agent. And I was finishing my university degree. I'd gone back to finish my university degree in writing. And it's like, well, I'm not over there. She's like, just do it. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I went and did it for about a year and a half. I did the kind of like ferry over for audition kind of thing and ferry home, which sucks.
Right.
And then I moved here. Yeah, I guess 2011.
Okay.
Just post riot.
No. Housing prices were pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't on fire. So.
So I moved over here then and then. Basically the last kind of 5 years, it's been the last kind of 3 years has been like a career and where it's where I make most of my money in the last. Yeah. I'm in the point now where it's like, oh yeah, this is how I make my money. Time to work on it. But the first handful of years are, you're trying to get like one-liner stuff or commercials or whatever. So it's not the most interesting of
careers.
It's not the most interesting of things you're going out for. You're like, oh, I want to be an actor. You think of like all these cool movies and shit like that. And then it's like, cool. You walk, oh, this Pepsi tastes good. And you walk out. It's like,
yeah. And meanwhile, like 30 people follow you and they try and do it better than you.
Yeah,
like,
right. Fuck off. And so it's, but I mean, that's part of the grind. That's the tough shit.
Matt, you talked about like writing shorts and whatnot like that. Do you still do that on the side as a hobby or no?
Yeah, kind of. I don't do like shorts anymore, but I still have stuff I've written. Like I had a pilot that was at Amazon and loved it. And this was 6 months ago. And I thought, okay, sweet. This is going to be good. But then they were like, it doesn't really fit our mandate. Do you have anything else? I was like, oh, what?
That's tough.
No, I mean, not TV shows. Can you just do this? Or just give me money for it?
Yeah.
So I still have that, which it's going to a couple places this month, actually. And so we'll see. Nice. Some producers, and I got a couple of features that are placed in contests. One's auctioned right now, so it's trying to get money and how much money can we get as opposed to our budget and shit like that, and name actors who can bring in international sales. All shit above my head that I let the producer deal with. So
yeah. What kind of drew you into this field? Like obviously, like you say you're 40 and you've been in there for 11 years. Like kind of a late to the party, I guess. In the grand scheme of things, like what was it that kind of drew you in and like why, like what was the choice, like what was the decision that made
that's you a good question. That's a good question. I think I think it was like is the thing that I kind of gravitate to all the time is comedy, like being able to do comedy, and especially with the sketches and shorts at the beginning with your buddies and stuff like that. It's like you watch like the Judd Apatow movies and they get like the outtake reels, and it's like they're all doing shit with their friends, and it's like, fuck, that's what I want to do.
Yeah,
I want to do movies with my friends, and like the Adam Sandler model of like going to Hawaii for 2 months and shooting a terrible movie, but hanging out with your friends for two months is kind of where I want to be. That sounds
incredible. Doing it again a year later as well, just because you can.
Yeah,
it's No, that's fair. Wild.
So I didn't have this question written down, but it's coming on the fly here. So in this initial stage, like you're going to all these pretty like small clip interviews and just trying to get whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a small fear of you that you might become like the next Slap Chop guy? Like you might just get like, you do so well at one, you say something like you're going to love my nuts and then boom, you just typecast it into it.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny question. No.
You don't want to do too good at that, right? Like you want to like put your best foot forward, but.
Not necessarily, but there has been some auditions where I've just been like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like one was like a spokesperson for, I can't remember what it was. And it was like fucking Hot Tubs or something. And it was like, you just like, you go out there and you just say a bunch of like, you're not even acting. You're just reading specs on a hot tub and shit. So I turned it down. And then they asked my agent again, like, hey, can you bring Matt in for the second round? And I was like, still no. And then they went back to my agent for the callbacks. Hey, we got the director and producer. We'd like to see you. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be seen as that guy.
Listen,
I've done some dumb shit. I've done Hallmark movies. Like, I'll do stupid shit for money, but not that.
You won't advertise a hot tub for money? Come on.
No, not that one.
There are worse things.
So
it's true.
This actually kind of leads me into a question. Okay, have any of you guys, this is a general question, not just for Matt, have you guys seen the movie Let's Be Cops?
Yes.
Okay, do you guys remember that scene? Like, because this is what I pictured for you, Matt. This is the part when, not the black guy, but the white guy.
Jake Johnson, yeah.
An actor. Great guy. And he does that commercial and he's like, I have, and it goes to all these people and he's like, genital herpes. And like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, that's what I picture. It's like, you're like Hot Tub Hamilton. Like, that's what that.
Yeah. Would be, you know? Hot Tub that Hamilton. Would be the yeah.
That's awesome. I love it.
So I remember, so when we were, I think this was many months ago. When we were thinking of people to interview and coming up, but we were trying not to go the typical, like just get every hockey sports media person in week after week and trying to find some unique guests. I was over at my family's house and I was hanging out with fam, had the TV on and boom, there's Matt Hamilton. I like instantly.
Hot Tub Hamilton.
Hot Tub Hamilton, dude. I was drawn into this. I don't remember what movie it was, but it was one of the Hallmark movies, but it was sick, dude. Like, I would admit I would never have sat down, but Matt, you had me hooked into this with your role. So what do you think? What are some intangibles? Like, imagine, let's just say we're the people you're pitching right now, but we don't want you to read a script. We want you to tell us about your intangibles. What's selling you on us?
Oh God. Good. I mean, first
is that a thing in acting? Like, do you bring intangibles?
Yeah, sure. For me, I would say like one, I'm like the most self-deprecating dude on the planet. So
that's
cool. I will never find something good to say about myself unless I can trash myself at the same time. Yeah. But my like improvisational comedy skill or like, because I have a background in screenwriting, there's like difference between people who improv or people just make shit up kind of to whatever. Whereas I think when I do it, which I try and do in every movie, even the Hallmark ones, like, I've done enough now where I just, if I know the director or like some of the shit you're saying is not the most interesting. It's like, how come you won't admit you have a crush on Beth?
Yeah.
You know, like you've liked her since high school.
Yeah.
So there's a more interesting way to get that across. Right.
Yeah.
And so instead of just rambling on and whatever, I feel like, with my writing background, I can improv and it's still organic to the narrative of the story. And it doesn't feel like someone who's trying to be funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so honestly, in your defense, and that's it.
Well, I was going to say, in your defense too, like there's a lot of great movies that have like unbelievably improvised lines, right? Or scenes even in that matter. Like our friends are giant Lord of the Rings fans. And like the one scene I believe that was improvised was in The Fellowship when Gandalf smokes his head in... And what's his name in Bilbo's house?
The Shire.
Yeah, in the Shire.
Yeah.
It's like, that's an improvised line. It's like, everybody loves it. And it's just, it wasn't meant to be, but it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's, filmmaking is like such a collaborative thing. And then even with my screenwriting, like I come from the school of like best idea wins. Mm-hmm. So like Elijah, you could text me like, you know, it'd be a funny thing to say. Boom. I go, hey, yeah, that would be funny. Yeah, I'll try that out. And so it's just, you get all these you get all these creative people together. Like, I don't think, seeing it's, some writers, and they like, don't change my stuff. It's whatever. And hey, that's their thing. Cool. But I mean, I personally think that you could benefit from a lot of talented, smart people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Bryan Cranston has a great story in Seinfeld when he's Tim Watley, the dentist.
Yeah.
And they're doing the scene where Jerry's in his thing, and then one of the one of the set guys or the grips, just before rehearsal, says to him, "Hey, you know what'd be funny if you just took a hit of the laughing gas," and went, "Oh yeah, good." And he's like, "Yeah." And so they did the rehearsal, and Jerry and Larry David just couldn't stop laughing. So then they shot it, and he does the, "Oh, it's good stuff," and does a thing, and everyone's laughing. They go, "How'd you think of that?" And he had this great story. He goes, "It wasn't my idea. It was." And he looks for him, and finally he sees him. He's just very back of the stage, just like leaning against the like a post. He goes, "Who's that guy?" And everyone kind of turns and goes, "Oh, okay, cool." But
moving on.
Yeah, great story.
Love that. Okay, my next question here: do you have a favorite actor and actress?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Kind of.
And you can't say Matt Hamilton for the actor part.
He's hinting at it here.
That
we got
guy.
We got a little Bruce action.
So I grew up with like a huge Bruce Willis fan. Like, okay. I don't think he's the best actor in the world.
But he's
growing up, he was my favorite. I bought all his movies. I have a couple posters, and I still like. I like to work out with a movie on, and usually they're kind of either watch an old action movie or one of these new shitty, like Bruce Willis does a lot of like these shitty action movies where he shows up for like 3 days on this shitty movie and like does 5 scenes and collects his money and gets the fuck out. So sometimes I put those on just to like pass the time while I'm on the bike or whatever. And I mean, they're not great, but I still feel like I need to support him for some reason. I don't know why. He's doing fine. He doesn't need my support.
Can you tell us a Bruce Willis movie that you just didn't like?
Oh yeah.
It's like the number one that comes to mind.
The worst Bruce Willis. I mean, he's got a couple doozies.
Yeah.
the whole 10 yards is terrible.
Really?
Terrible. The first one was funny. The second one's terrible.
Okay.
The last Die Hard movie is not very good.
Fair.
There's some cool car chases in it, but there's Color of Night's not very good. Hudson Hawk's really bad.
What's the one where he's like there's like kids or whatever that are being held hostage in some sort of like vacation home or something like that, and then he's trying to talk to the killers telling them not to kill them in the house. Fuck, what Bruce Willis? Is it just called Hostage?
Is it the one? Yeah.
Yeah. That was a very good Bruce Willis movie from what I remember. I really liked his role in that one.
Cool. Cop Out wasn't very good. Yeah. He's made some stinkers, but
yeah.
Like, he's the man. You got to go to. I think this was. He didn't even have a huge role in this, but I remember Lucky Number 11. And
that was a fun one. That was fun.
I liked that movie.
I rewatched Armageddon the other day because I got Disney Plus, and man, that movie is a mess, but it is so fun. It is so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the cast is loaded. You got like Owen Wilson and Steve Buscemi and Michael Kirk Duncan in these like tiny roles. And it's fun. It's so stupid, but it's fun.
That's like when Bruce Willis came out of nowhere in The Expendables. What was it the second one or the third one or something like that? You're like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
But hey, it worked.
But coming out of nowhere in The Expendables, that doesn't exist. Like, that's what you should expect when you sit down for that movie. Like,
yeah, those movies are really, I got to say actress too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, Bruce is my favorite, but I mean, there's so many good ones. Like, I mean, I'll tell you one actress I'd never want to work with is Meryl Streep, because I would be so in my own head. Like, she's like the best actor.
She's a legend.
Yeah.
In the history of fucking movies, right?
She's that's like showing up for Stick and Puck, and you got like Gretzky out there. You're like, I don't know how to skate anymore.
And she, like, she's got 21 Academy Award nominations. Like, I the whole time in my head, no matter what I'm supposed to be saying, all I would be thinking is, I shouldn't be here. So, hey, Meryl, I know you probably listen to this podcast. Yeah. No offense. Yeah. It's not you. It's me. Yeah.
Good
question. But I'd love to do something. I'd love to work with just because I think it'd be so fun. Like Tina Fey or Kristen Wiig or someone like that. Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, I feel like would be really fun. Or like Sandra Bullock, even maybe.
Yeah.
Like I'm very bullish on Rosamund Pike. That's one of my favorites.
She's good. Oh yeah. Throw Viola Davis in the Meryl Streep category. I'd be so intimidated. I wouldn't be able to do it. Like no, like she's intense. Sorry, she's great and everything. And it's like no pass.
Yeah.
That's not a Viola Davis like, doing. I'm scared.
Just give me two Guinness and a car key, and then I'll be ready to go. Okay, I got a bit of a scenario question for you. Apparently, that's all I'm known for these days. So let's just say you had any opportunity in the world, but you had to play a character that's already been played. So there's a character out there that just fits your personality, your mold the best. And this movie is going to blow up. Like, it's going to be the movie of the year. And you obviously want your performance to be the best. What character are you taking on?
Ooh, good question. Good question.
I know. I'm fucking good at this, dude.
I had kind of one. I wanted my man. I kind of half wanted my manager to see if he could get me in on, although I'm not big enough for it. And they already, as it turns out, the casting was well underway. Was Jack Reacher?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Cruise movie aside, he's supposed to be like 6'5", 250.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're not big enough for that one. What do you mean?
Yeah, not yet.
Give me a couple Tom more Cruise big there. Enough for that.
Yeah. Anyway, they hired a dude who was like that size for the TV. They're doing a TV series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Amazon or I think, but
I guess Amazon.
The director, he does both. What's his face? He played Jim in The Office. Wasn't it him?
No, Jack Ryan.
Yeah. Fuck that up.
Different ones. Jack Reacher, Jack Ryan, both Jacks. But let's say, I mean, fuck. If they ever did that, why am I so confused?
I don't know, dude. Left it hand. Fucking trips there, you out, dude. I don't know how to answer.
I mean, fuck, like wisecracking action thing. I just finished a show where, like, my character is kind of like the hard ass. I'm a U.S. Marshal, and well, I'm not finished. I got one more day left this week, but I'm like a kind of tough guy, U.S. Marshal, kind of a dick.
Yeah,
but I got to do like my first really choreographed fight scene.
That's sick.
Yeah.
And it was fucking cool. Like in the script, it was like my character, the killer comes out. He tries to stab this guy we're protecting. I body check him into the wall. He slashed my arm. I'm like, oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. And so while I was filming one day, they go, hey, we want to run through the choreography for Thursday. I'm like, oh, sure. And they had this super elaborate fight sequence with kicking, and one guy gets smashed on the thing. I get kicked and blocked and knife coming everywhere. What? I get knocked to the ground, slap. Like it was at first, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How the fuck do I do that? But then you just learn it in pieces.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a couple days. And then we did it. And the first take, like it's fine to have all the moves down. I'm like, okay. I pull my gun. He knocks the gun out of my hand and he kicks me and I hit the ground. That's the only part we're doing to start. And so, while he's doing that, he's got this guy and he puts him in a chokehold and spins him around. So he does that, spins him around, kicks my gun out. And as he kicks my gun, he kind of hit my hand hard. So I kind of went down. And then he does like a roundhouse kick where he's supposed to kick me in the chest. But because my head was down, he kicked me in the face. But I kept going. I hit the ground.
Yeah.
I got back up, ready to go. It's like, cut. I was like, and there's like that moment of like, oh. an actor got hurt. Is he going to be okay? And then people started laughing.
Yeah, but Matt, that's that kind of improv that they're looking for on the set. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what they want to see.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking director takes this clip where he mics down. He's like, Matt, strong jaw, strong nose. Love it.
Yeah. You know,
right back up.
It didn't break despite his best efforts.
So how many takes did that entire fight scene take you guys? Or I guess at least like that part.
Yeah. Good question. It took, we filmed it. It's funny because you start doing it as like, especially as like a, a guy, like I grew up on action movies with, you know, my cousins and my brothers and shit like that. And it was like the first little bits, like, this is so fun. And I had a stunt guy who did like the wide.
Yeah.
He did it all like really full speed. And it was like, oh Jesus Christ, intense. And then for every close up, I jump in and do it. And so it's tiring, man. It fucking like,
I believe it.
It's tiring. And after about 2 hours, I was like, holy fuck, I'm really sore.
Yeah.
I'm tired and you're kind of pain. I had to keep changing my shirt because I kept sweating through my shirt.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh my God.
They had like six shirts for me. So I kept sweating through my shirts and it was
the
like.
The dryer in the back?
Yeah. I don't have what it takes to be a stunt guy, I've discovered.
Yeah.
We filmed that. It was probably, I don't know how many moves. I don't know how to cut it. Probably 45 second fight scene.
Jesus.
Holy shit. That's a lot.
Yeah, 30 to 45 seconds. And it took us three hours.
Five hours. Holy hell.
Jesus Christ. We basically had like a splinter unit shooting it. So they were shooting the rest of the episode with the main unit. And then the stunt director directs the stunt stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we, and along with one of the executive producers, we just did that while they were doing the other shit.
That's nuts. But it
fucking sounds like you could hang with Keanu Reeves if you really wanted to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Or yeah. Fuck man. He's nuts, dude. Like the John Wick shit. Like I trained for two days for that fight scene.
Yeah.
Like Keanu Reeves and the John Wick movies, they trained for like 6 months.
Well, did you see all the, what's it called? Like all the quick videos of him at the shooting range or whatever, and just like running a course with a gun with live rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah.
It's just like another day in the office for him. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. He's super dedicated to that stuff. And it pays off, man. Like he's like,
seriously,
say what you want about his acting, but he can be really good at some stuff. And he's great in the John Wick shit, man. Like that's really cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like, even if you watch it too, like all the bright colors and all the music and everything like that, like it's like it's just an unreal fucking production. You know what I mean? Like it's just fun to watch. You can't like look away from it.
Yeah.
What do you mean bright colors, dude? Doesn't the movie look like your room?
I thought no, it's very like, it's very like dark, but there's like a lot of like neon and shit going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a little bit like the black and red kind of style, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Speaking of dark times, guys, I wanted to pivot here. I wanted to pivot to what we call sports and the dark times and just being a sports fan where we don't really win. Right. So Matt, the intro into this part is you're from Victoria, but you're a Leafs, Jays, Toronto sports fan, right?
That's correct.
Through and through, like every sport or like the good ones, I guess.
Yeah, I get. I mean, Raptors.
Yeah, kind of Raptors, like, Jays, I mean, Leafs,
like,
right?
Yeah, I like the Grizzlies when they were here.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, all right.
They died.
Okay, so why don't we jump to the Leafs? Yeah, that was the fun part. Is they were terrible. That would have been fun if they were still here. Okay, so the Leafs. I just want to know. Is Freddie Anderson just expired beef at this point? Get him out of there.
Good question. I'm not one of those knee jerk hockey fans who, when someone has a bad game, they have to be traded or they suck or whatever. And listen, Fred. Like people forget like how good he's been the last 45 years.
Mm.
Granted, this year he hasn't been very good. He's been battling injuries. He hasn't been great. Last year he was okay, but and the main issue for him is he keeps in these deciding games in the playoffs, he keeps getting outplayed by the other goalie.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when it's like one bad goal he let in, like the last game seven, it's like the no angle one is a killer. And he played excellent the games before, but it's like that's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that fucking sucks. So I think the Leafs were hoping this year was going to be, let's see what Jack Campbell's got. And obviously right now it's been good, but I mean, he got hurt immediately because Tkachuk jumped on him in that fucking game. And so he's been hurt for most of the year, not Freddie Jarrett. And so I don't think we're at the stage now where I don't think in hockey, I don't think you should pay your goalies.
Yeah.
I think you can find like, the Bobrovsky contract and the Price contract are like team killers.
Yeah. Anchors at this point. Yeah.
Like the Demko contract is, I mean, it's, if he plays like this, it's good.
Yeah, right. I'm loving it. I'm like, excited.
I think Markstrom should be like your ceiling, like the six and a half, and even prorate that with the COVID cap not moving. So I think anyone who wants to pay their goalies a lot it's foolish, because Jack Campbell makes what? Fucking a million something. And a half and nine and oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the other side of that is though, is like you're kind of handcuffed to pay these guys too, right? Because like if you don't pay them, somebody else will, like, because it becomes a bidding war, which is, you know, obviously I agree, like paying a goaltender a lot of money is like it's such a crapshoot, because like 1 year they can be unreal. Like I think it was Jeff Merrick that had a really good quote, and he was talking about Carey Price, and he's like, this guy was a world-class goaltender. He went to a great goaltender, went to a good goaltender, and now he's just an average goaltender yet.
Yeah.
He's still getting paid the same, you know? Like, it's just based on, I guess, like, I don't know. Like, I find goalies are just, like, it's all streets, whether it's for 2 years, 3 years. Like, you can be unreal, but, like, it's so hard to put out consistent numbers year in and year out.
Yeah, I think gone are the days where you have Hasek and Patrick Roy and not necessarily in terms of talent, but in terms of like, well, this goal equipment's smaller and there's less teams playing the trap, and
it
doesn't seem to be like there's that goalie that's gonna, like, even like Jordan Binnington comes out, is amazing, and then he stinks the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. Like, Jacob Markstrom hasn't been great this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't had a lot of help, but he hasn't been great. He's been okay. He's had some good games.
And you got him for what, five more at his age as well? That's the biggest thing, is at his age.
But I think the goalie market kind of corrected itself with, I think, Price struggling and then Bobrovsky just being horrible his first year. And also Florida has like two – Florida's got like Spencer Knight and what's that other goalie prospect they have? They have like two of the top goalie prospects.
There's one more American goalie, I think.
Yeah.
Driedger, who's – I don't know if he's a prospect, but he's been lighting it up evenly with Bobrovsky this season.
Yeah, so, no, but there's – I think it was the starting goaltender this year for the Americans. They have him as well along with Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
But they took him. I think the goaltender that they have that's not Spencer Knight was taken in like the fourth, fifth round, but he's pretty good as well. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. My question about Toronto is like, and I don't mean this as a swipe, but do you mentally enjoy being a Leafs fan? Like, do you find it exhausting with how many headlines and shit? Like, I'm from Calgary, so like I like the Flames, but they're starting to convert me to a Canucks fan here. Mm-hmm. But do you find that it's just like, holy shit, like every single day there's a headline, there's a trade rumor, there's like so much stuff. It's just like, do you find that exhausting, or like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, a little. I've got to the point now where I kind of tune out a lot of it. Like, you know, it's like, hey, there's the 50th story about how Austin Matthews and Justin Bieber are friends. Like, who fucking cares? Or like, every time Toronto plays Edmonton, which is nine times this year, it's like
McDavid and Matthews
trained in the hockey players trained together in the off season. It's not a fight. Yeah. I get it. They're both really good.
Yeah,
move on. But it's always something, and it's
okay.
For me, it's not so bad, because I don't have cable. I just have like the apps. I have the Sportsnet app and whatever. So I essentially choose to watch what I want. Like, I don't have like the talk shows running or, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Nice. Follow up question to that though.
Yeah.
I've talked about this as a Vancouver fan, and it's kind of a hot take. It's kind of a psychotic take, actually.
Yeah.
Does part of you kind of like not want to win because you're enjoying the chase so much? That's kind of where I'm at as a Canucks fan. Like, I've lived so long of just experiencing this darkness where I'm like, once it's gone, once someone turns on the light, I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that, hey?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% out on that. However, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I would still rather, like, I'd still rather win so I can just, like, I'm at the point now, like I don't care what the Leafs do in the regular season. I don't care if they finish first or fourth in division, to be honest. It's irrelevant. You're going to play one of these teams. It's like, what are you going to do in the playoffs?
Yeah.
You need to get through the first round.
Exactly. That's all you need.
You don't have to fucking play Boston. Holy fucking shit. This is incredible. And we get through the first round. That's the only thing in my head.
Oh, yeah, that's the big one. And so, like, looking at this playoff path, though, so Toronto finishes one. That's not a guarantee, but that's looking like it's going to happen. So first round opponent's easy. You want the Habs. But let's go between the Oilers and Jets. Who do you guys think you match up better against?
I like our matchup with both, to be honest. You want it probably Winnipeg just because you don't want, like,
McDavid.
Like the Leafs have been good against McDavid. Like, he hasn't done a lot.
Yeah.
The Leafs, because they're a good skating team, and they run four lines and they match up well. Still, he's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mark Crosby's no slouch, and, you know, they got Dubois and Ehlers and Kyle Connor and fucking Blake Wheeler. Like, they're a good team, but
mm-hmm.
I think I'd probably avoid Edmonton. But
I would agree.
The same token, their goalie's Mike Smith, who's 60.
Yeah, seriously.
And while he's played well this year. He also has been pretty brutal recently. Like, the other goalies are, like, we've been kind of slagging Price a bit. Rightfully so. He hasn't been very good, but he can just turn it on and be like, oh, yeah, I'm the best goalie. And Hellebuck's incredible.
Yeah.
He can steal a series. Like, that's a
– Yeah,
that's
so
– Him and McDavid, like, they're not the equal players in terms of importance, but a goalie can steal a series way easier than a player can.
Yeah. Every team has its challenges. Like, Draisaitl and Edmonton's just so thin. They're so thin. Yeah. They don't have any depth. Like, nobody's – like, Nuge is a good player. He doesn't frighten me.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Draisaitl and McDavid are terrifying. But outside of that, there's not – like, Nurse is really good. But
yeah. Other than that, not a whole lot.
I feel like the moment you start – saying I wish we play this team is the moment you get in trouble. When the team's like, oh yeah, by the way, McDavid had 6 goals in game one. It's like, fuck.
Dude, tell me about it. Like, that's the vibe I get when I'm a Canucks fan in, like, 2009 to 2012, when I keep saying, like, yeah, I want the Blackhawks, bring them on. We'll fuck them up this time. Or the Bruins. Like,
well, eventually you did. Fucking, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got them good, didn't we?
Yeah.
Burned our city down after that.
Yeah.
Sorry. E, do you want to go or do you want me to?
You go ahead, man.
All right. Toronto media.
Oh, back to it.
Do you think they're going to drive Austin Matthews out of town?
I mean,
do you see him being a career Leaf? Because a lot of people are saying, like,
dude,
he may not.
I fucking hope so.
Dude,
give him a C when sport, his contract stops. Say, here's a new deal. Here's a C. He's so good. Jesus Christ. But
what are you going to do with Tavares? Like, you can't, like, that guy's captain material too, right? Like, you kind of,
well, he'll be when Matthews' deal is up. I think Tavares' deal is up.
Oh, right. Shit. So we're like 4 years out, 5 years out kind of thing.
Yeah. I think he's got four. I think Matthews is 4 years left. And so does Tavares.
Okay. There you go.
So
it's actually coming up quick.
I think it's kind of, I think they probably plan that. I mean, I may, maybe not, but I mean, Matthews hasn't really been around when it's the dark days, like fucking the amount of shit Dion Phaneuf took.
I have one here. I was going to ask you if you're a Phaneuf or Kessel guy, because you got to be one or both.
Listen, I think Phaneuf was fucking railroaded, I think Babcock had a great quote. He's like, people don't understand how much shit Phaneuf took to protect the other guys on the team. And Phaneuf never buried a teammate, and he always answered the questions as ridiculous. Like, I remember one question was, do you think you've provided enough leadership during the stretch run? I was like, what the fuck kind of asshole thing is that? It's basically trying to be like, come on. And then Kessel got a lot of shit too. It's like, look, this guy's going to score. Like, his run with the Leafs, he was like, during his time with the Maple Leafs, I think he was like the fifth highest goal scorer in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, listen, he's not going to win a Selkie. He's not going to battle hard in the corners. This is what he is. Yeah. He's going to snap a wrist shot. He's going to score goals, and he's not going to have a six pack. Yeah. this is who the player is. Like, quit trying to expect more out of it.
I guess that's where my question kind of stemmed from. Is like, you see like these guys that, you know, came in to Toronto and they left there. I would never say that the media is like solely to blame, but it can be exhausting. I would say like when, especially when you give up a lot to take someone on, or when you wear the C, like, would you say that the media is worse in Toronto than it is dealing with fans in Montreal?
Ooh, jeez. Montreal is intense. I mean, I'm talking like I played hockey in both these cities, but yeah, man, I think that's a pick 'em. Like, I mean, Kadri recently was on the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and he talked about how, like, you know, you finish a game and sometimes there's like no reporters talking to you, or like one.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of nice. And that's not necessarily like a dead hockey market. It's just the Canadian cities specifically, mm-hmm. you know, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, you know, Winnipeg, Montreal, Toronto, they like Ottawa, I guess. Does Ottawa count? Are we counting Ottawa this year?
No.
I think we're going to end up playing like 20 less games than them, and we're still counting us before we count Ottawa.
Yeah, right. yeah, it's tough. I mean, as a Flames fan, you probably like, God, the fucking media must be knives out there right now for Monahan and Gaudreau. And,
yeah.
And listen, I get the Monahan shakes. I got him in one of my pools. The fuck?
but you know what though? Like, it's a fair point, and I think the biggest thing is, like, you go on like I feel like Toronto, or like even like Montreal, like they'll light their city on fire if their prime goal scorer's goal is through three games.
Yeah,
like Austin Matthews doesn't score if Mitch Marner's not on the board. Like, they're ready to like trade these guys, and it's so fucked, and like these guys are, I don't know, it frustrates me, like. Because I feel like you're on a scale of 1 to 10 from a rationale point, 10 being like you're very rational Leafs fan, 1 you're pretty steady. I would say what, you're a 3 or a 4.
I've kind of molded into that through pain.
Yeah,
you become desensitized.
Seriously. Well, yeah, I mean, you get to the point. I mean, like Mitch Marner last year in the playoffs, he wasn't great. He had a bad first game, and he didn't score, but he fucking like he. Played his ass off. Like, he tried.
That's the thing. Seriously.
Like, he was really trying. He was skating hard, and like, Jake Gardner obviously got a lot of shit because he had the worst game he's ever played in a game 7.
What was he do? Was he dash 5?
Dash 5. I think he was dash 5. But it was like, you think, like, as frustrated as I am, you know who's more frustrated? The player.
The player. Yeah, exactly.
He's not trying to screw up. He fucked up. And the last thing he wants to hear is your bullshit take tagging him on Twitter talking about trading him. You know what I mean? It's like,
seriously.
But yeah. Unfortunately, with the media and social media, it's like a lot of shit that fucking these guys got to deal with. And it sucks. I mean, it's like, I mean, part of it's also like Marner held out to, you know, to max out his money. And like, he's really good, but that irks some fans.
Yeah, you get sour taste. I would say this is interesting. I always get heated whenever we bring in media and sports into this. Yeah. I always get fired the fuck up. But, and I'll say this knowing that I actually enjoy certain media members. Like, I enjoy their personalities. I enjoy them as people. But the overall overwhelming idea behind sports media, dude, they're fucked. Like, I equate it to pretty much the paparazzi in real life. Like, I'd very rarely enjoy the okay, good questions they ask. And then like the amount of times you hear them ask such a dumb question just is like, and the players have no interest in it. Like, it's the Marshawn Lynch, dude. It's like they would literally never be there if they had to. So like,
yeah, right. Well, Draisaitl had that great interaction with the guy. I was like, do you feel like you've let down a team when you guys
are you happy
did yeah. nothing? He's like, yeah, I'm stoked. I'm so happy when we don't score. That's the best, and we lose. Cool.
Yeah, we lost 0 points in 3 games. I love it. I'm having so much fun.
Yeah, like
like what are you thinking when you're there, dude? You're getting paid like a salary to be there, and you just even compute.
What it is, I think some of these guys are fans and they're mad, so they want the player to feel bad and hopefully get like a cool soundbite or whatever. Like the boss, like God, fucking imagine what Buffalo has been like. I mean, at least they're winning games, but it's like, there's that one reporter who just was like cutthroat. Like, you guys aren't even trying out there. He's like, well, yeah, we are, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. They suck. It's And they're in their own head. It's just.
Well, dude, honestly, playing in Buffalo this year, that's the equivalent of showing up to Dunder Mifflin every year, though. You walk in and you're like, what the fuck's going to happen tonight, dude? I have no clue.
For about the last couple of years, I've been like, man, listen, Buffalo, they could be sneaky good. And every year I'm wrong. Every year.
Sneaky good. Sneaky good. Favorite phrase in sports, dude.
My last question for you, and then we can almost wrap it up here, is if you could add one player at the deadline to help Toronto get over the hump, get out of the first round, who are you adding?
Not Taylor. Not the Taylor curse.
God, unless we want the first overall pick, because somehow that'll happen. good question. Good question.
It can even be a position. It doesn't even have to be an
exact. Yeah. Well, Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah.
Would be my favorite of the players available. He's really good, and he's really under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And he could slide into that kind of Travis Dermott role. And so you could have kind of three pairs that can, but like, yeah, I mean, then there's like Granlund's the other guy they linked to a lot.
Maybe this would be a good question. Like, do you think they should make a move?
To be honest, I like their team, how it is right now. I think they're pretty deep up front. They got that Robertson kid coming back from injury. He's had a tough year. Like game one, fucking sprains his knee, out for 2 months.
Yeah.
And so he just did his conditioning stint for the Marlies. So and Galchenyuk's looked good the last handful of games.
Guy scored 30 goals 1 year, man. Like, let's give the guy a shot.
Good. So, I mean, I guess if Granlund came in, Kerfoot would probably have to go salary wise. I kind of like Kerfoot, but he's replaceable.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he skates hard and he's fast and he gets in on pucks and he does little things like that. That don't really show up on the score sheet. That's important. Yeah. But I think I would go, if I had a number one wish, I don't want them to trade Sandin. He's another guy who played one game and fucking broke his ankle. So he's almost back now. I don't want them to trade Sandin or Robertson.
All right.
Those are the two I'd like to keep.
There you have it. Matt Hamilton's untouchables.
I mean, if you're trading for Ekholm, who's got another year at like 3.75, you're gonna have to give up something for him.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Matt, we got someone in Twitch chat asking for your autograph too. So if you, I know Assad, he's got big man titties. So I don't know if you've ever signed a pair of those before, but
yours. Also, autographs worth nothing.
Not yet. Hey,
dude, it's like NFTs, dude. You never know, man. You should just get into this market of Matt Hamilton's autograph while it's a bit low here.
Well, hey, Turner and Hooch comes out July 16th on Disney Plus. So you guys got to watch
it.
There you go. I'm in.
Hey, I got a question for you guys, Canucks fans.
Yeah. Hit me.
How did, I mean, not including the COVID shit. But by the way, another thing back to the media. Can we not have a fucking story every day about who's got COVID on the Canucks? Like, how about, hey, they're sick. Let's check back in fucking 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
It's a good call. That would be assuming that the media actually like kind of have what's best for the players in mind. I don't think that's the priority there.
Right. Of course. Yeah. How did you expect the season to go? And it's compared to how it went.
So I think
none of us could have predicted what's happening right now.
Yeah.
I'll sidebar Raffle real quick and say I bleed blue, and I would say I'm Nostradamus. I 100% saw all this coming. But not really. Like, this is the thing, is that I'm a big picture guy. I truly think that when you get a core like this, I'm sold on this for the next 5 to 7 years. Like I've constantly said on this podcast, success is not linear. We overachieved last year. And this is just typical hockey market, but there's no way this team comes out and does better than they were doing in the playoffs last year. And they've got a target on their back. There's all these metaphors you could use, but honestly, I think what's happening to this team is good right now. Like you got the team not only struggling, but you got some of the best players on our team, like really finding holes in their game. Like Quinn Hughes does not look like a superhuman. Elias Pettersson cannot do what he's doing last year. I think all of these things are good for this team because you know, what we did last year with the playoffs, that kind of taught the team how to win, but it also taught the team how to lose, in my opinion. And this is kind of furthering that lesson for this season. Now, from where you go from here, honestly, I want to keep as much of this team as possible while shedding smart money here and there. But I'm definitely not the guy where I'm saying, like, let's trade a big piece. Let's acquire a big piece. I think all the parts that we need is right here. That's where I'm at.
Raf?
I honestly, like, I echo what Elijah says. Like, the team did kind of need this season to struggle a little bit to kind of, like, find holes in their play style, right? To just kind of move on and just progress. As far as, like, what I think the outcome would have been with this season, I think we would have ended up on the cusp of either making it to the playoffs or just barely missing the playoffs. But then again, I think we can all agree that, like, what's happening right now, nobody could have foreseen that. Like, we've heard cases of, like, teams getting COVID cases here and there, and it's just impacting their overall, like, season very minorly. But this is just, like, it's good under season right here, right? So
yeah, it's kind of loopy. I'm kind of the same way with you guys. I kind of thought that I thought they'd be in a battle for the last playoff spot. Although, I thought, you know, because last year people they had, what, 7 or 8 guys had career seasons.
Yeah.
And very rarely people just repeat that. Yeah. You know, so it's hard, and their goaltending was fucking incredible. Like, Markstrom was great last year, and then Demko was banana lands in the playoffs. That was stupid. But you know, when the season started, it was like when the Leafs, the first game when they like blew the doors off them, I was like, fuck yes. And then the second game, it was like, okay, that's not as fun. And the third game, I was like, all right, now it'll be a good, at least we'll have a good game here. And it still wasn't. I was like, not good. But they kind of, they rounded out.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised. Like, I loved JT Miller last year.
Mm-hmm. He's been really it's hard to crack what he is right now.
He's still a good player, but I'm surprised, one, how lazy he is.
Yeah, true.
And two, how much he fucking whines.
It's weird when trying to like be a fucking analyst and trying to scope out like what this guy is, because last year I kind of felt like he was the guy that brought the give a fuck meter up on this team quite a bit. And like every time, just the look on his face when he was playing, that was what that team was. And then this year it's the same thing, like, but it's the opposite look. Like he looks fucked. Like he doesn't look like he's ready to do anything.
Like if it was Bo Horvat doing the pout thing, it'd be like, okay, he plays his ass off every shift. He's frustrated. I get it. But there's been so many times where JT Miller's just kind of floating around.
Yeah.
Like letting his track go. I mean, listen, he's still a good hockey player.
Yeah. He'll be there for the success of the team.
The OT winner.
Yeah. Oh boy.
That's
some retweets for me for sure. Hey, okay. Anyways, we got to wrap this up here, but Matt, I know you kind of hinted at it there with Turner and Hooch. Can you give us like a one line synopsis of it and just tell us again where to find it for the listeners?
Yeah, sure. It's based on the movie that Tom Hanks, nice. Although it's a TV series, 12 episodes. And the main dude is Tom Hanks' kid. And so he's a U.S. Marshal who's been given Hooch from the father after he passes. And so, yeah, I'm one of the U.S. Marshals who kind of gives him a hard time. I'm like the super douche hero cop.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great role. He's like Disney Brown, Plus?
Like this. Yeah. Disney Plus, July 16th.
Fuck cool. Yeah. Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that.
We'll be looking at it.
Thanks a lot. Great. Thanks a lot for coming on, Matt. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Take care, buddy.
Cheers.
Later, man.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right, boys and listeners, here's what we're going to do. We're going to
go to the bathroom quickly.
Okay, so we're going to throw it on. You didn't need to even say that because I had you covered, dude. We're going to throw it down on the countdown, and then we'll have some surprises by the time people get back. What's up, everybody? Stick and Rink episode shirts off. Always tough to deconstruct the podcasting lodge and put them back together, but we're here. All you guys get is the top half. That's what Twitch is about. If I ever stream vids, I think maybe I might show the belly, Raph. What do you think?
I think you absolutely should. Just show everybody what you look like in your natural habitat.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking out there that, like, obviously if you go like Instagram live or if you go like Twitter live, I feel like people are looking to screen capture things. Do people do that on Twitch?
100%. Yeah.
Fuck that, dude. Where's that community at? I need that love and support from the people. Okay. Anyways, that was a great interview with Matt Hamilton. First of all, thanks. Shout out to Matt Hamilton. That guy's, I did not get to work with him for long enough. He was so fun to work with every shift. And you guys got a taste of why right there. He's just awesome to talk to. Other than that, boys, I don't know why. I thought I would leave it to you guys for a second there without telling you. But okay. So, boys, before we get started into like catching up with each other, today is kind of a special day in the hockey community and a tough day, really. It's special for not the right reasons, but so April 6th, 2018 was the date of the Broncos bus crash. And I know us not being like super involved in hockey or even in sports, but just being a bunch of guys that were once that age and having done road trips. I mean, I've been on a bus personally back in those days, and that story, dude, that shook me to the core when it happened for sure. And so today's the 3-year anniversary of that. There were 16 lives lost in that crash. I know I told you guys I recently read a book by one of the survivors of the crash, and it honestly, like, this is probably the one thing, one of the five things in the world that can always get me emotional, just reading articles or watching videos about it. So definitely gone but never forgotten. Any thoughts on that, guys? Any feelings on it?
I mean, I think, you know, when you still kind of think about it and everything, it is very emotional, and it's sad because, you know, as a newcomer to the plain hockey community, like, it, that's what it is. Like, it is a community, and it's pretty tight knit, even though how popular the game actually is. And I guess, like, for me, like, just the emotional side is just like, I guess, like, the aftermath and it's the families. And I think the one thing that's even like the most sad as well is even the, like, the truck driver that obviously ended up hitting the bus. Like, there's no hate towards that guy from people. Yeah. Like, it's all forgiveness. And, like, I think that's, like, the saddest part about all of it is, like, it was an accident. Like, it was, you know, obviously, like, there was someone obviously at fault, but at the end of the day, like, it was never, like, intentional. You know, and I think, like, the most moving part is, like, how forgiving people are, I would say. In terms of, I would agree. So, you know, I think it's just, yeah, it's sad, and yeah, I just feel for the families there.
Mm-hmm. Raph, any thoughts on it?
No, I agree with Josh. Like, we talk, this is what, our second time talking about this on the podcast now, because we've been doing this for so long, right? Like, every single year when it comes around, it doesn't get any easier. Like, the day's there, and we all just remember everything that happened, and it fucking sucks. Like, it was a really unfortunate series of events. So many different people were impacted by it, and it's like, doesn't get easier, but all we can do is just kind of slowly work through it, right, and hope that something like that doesn't happen ever again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good points. I would say, I've mentioned a few times now, Caleb Dahlgren's book Crossroads, that's the one I read. Probably my favorite part about that book was his part where throughout the book he was obviously describing his friends' personalities and kind of the people that they were, but there was also a part where he kind of like went through every single person that passed away and talked about what they were to him and who they were as a person. That was like, that's the shit right there. That was moving, man. Like, you get definitely a feel for the type of people they were. But like Raph said, it comes around every year, and we definitely want to make a note of remembering it each time and just paying respect to those people. So, but other than that, guys, I need to catch up with the boys. I need some deets. Give me the tea is the phrase I just learned from Megan. I need the tea from you boys. I'm doing okay. I'm a little exposed right now. I did a chest workout. I don't get to show it off to the camera, but fellas, how you guys doing?
Good. Yeah. I'm super good. I had a good weekend. Super relaxed. I went fucking kayaking yesterday, which was sick. And nice. Okay, so I want to ask you guys this kind of question, because, like, I had a great time out kayaking. I thought it was so fucking fun. Mm-hmm. But do you guys ever do things that you forgot that you enjoyed when you were younger? Because, like, my dad used to take me out on the water all the time as a kid, like canoeing, kayaking, like up by like Pitt Lake and shit. And yesterday I went up to Deep Cove, and it was so much fucking fun. And it's like, now I just want to keep going and doing it over and over again. Do you guys have anything like that you've just recently revisited that you just fucking love doing?
E, do you have anything? I don't know.
I wanted you to go first because I was still thinking. Well, but go ahead.
Fuck no, you go.
Go ahead. Now I'm concentrating. Yeah, no, I would say there's not many activities that I remember doing as a kid because I was a fucking lame kid. I'll just say that. Like, I was just such a loser back then. I didn't enjoy just having fun. Like, I was just so shy. Maybe, like, I will say, our guy in the Twitch chat, Shane, saying skiing. Sorry, dude, I'm out on skiing after buying them, but not out, Raph. Don't get mad. I'm not out. Megan and I getting back into painting. That's one thing that I never even knew I enjoyed. I'll say that. Yeah. I probably did as like a kid, like fucking finger painting the shit out of the walls, but these paintings, like, just I don't know. I love it more than I thought it would.
Fair.
That's for show.
Josh, you look like you got something cooking right there.
No, I'm trying to think of something that like I revisited from when I was a kid, and there's not, but there is one thing that kind of triggered that what you just said, Raph, is being out on the water. And I take so much shit for this from the boys, but like I used to be in sailing camp, and sailing was fucking awesome. No, I'm dead serious. Like, if I can ever get one of you two shitheads out on like a small little like 14-foot 420 sailboat, it's a two-person boat, like, we'll have a time,
dude. 420 sailboat, I'm there.
Do you feel fucking confident enough to put my life in your hands?
Yeah, 100%.
Are you sure?
I'm like, I swear in our friendship. And like,
Josh, is this sailboat, is this one that you could just handle on your own, or are you going to need assistance from either of us? Because if you do, like, it's just going to go tits up immediately.
No, yes. Honestly, the only side is you need to know when you change direction. So, like, depending on what side, like, the wind is coming from, you have to sit on the side of the boat. Because if you sit on the same side that the boat leans, it's obviously going to capsize and you're going to tip over. So you kind of
have to
turn sides. So when you turn... like in the opposite direction,
you have to
move sides and watch out for the boom, like the thing that holds the mainsail, so it doesn't fucking concuss you. Like, you have to duck and then move and then sit on the other side. So
interesting.
Dude, like, I'm telling you right now, like, it's fucking fun.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's a good time. So anyway, I learned how to. Damn. There's a concept. It's called dry rolling.
Yeah,
That's basically where you tip your boat over, but you don't get wet. And that's pretty
okay,
fun.
Fair.
And I know how to do that,
dude. So okay, yesterday
you can tip it back over without getting wet,
dude. So one thing about like tipping it over and like rolling over and shit like that. Yesterday, I was getting what's it called? The guy was giving me like a demonstration of like how to use the kayak and everything like that. And he's like, in the unlikely situation that you roll over and you're upside down, he like walks me through the entire thing. He's like, all right, you got to turn around. You got to lean. You got to like try doing this, and like all these things with like counter rates and bullshit. And I'm sitting there and like, I was on it for like the first 30 seconds and then I missed one thing. Yeah. But then I missed one thing that he said and I just immediately stopped listening. And I was like, fuck, I'm underwater. I have no idea what to do, dude. Like, I'm stuck. I'm dead.
Well, that's the sketchy thing that I've never really liked about kayaking is the fact you get in there and instantly the boat it fucking wobbles.
I can tell you right now, dude. Wait, real quick. Right now, it's more. I find it more stable than a canoe. I found it more stable than a canoe.
I would say so. Yeah.
I feel like I would not want to be in a canoe with a lot. I feel like he would fuck with me too hard.
He's flipping his.
Dude, if I had a word to describe me that people would not expect, it's nautical. I'm nautical. For sure. Like, you can trust me out there with an engine, with a sail, with
like NOT nautical,
with the yak, with the U, whatever you need.
There you go. There. Do you wear the brand too? Do you wear the brand nautical?
No, I'm not bougie enough, dude. I wear the knockoff, dude. I wear the Kirkland sailing outfit.
there you go.
That's what I got going. Hey, Raph, what muscle group is kind of hurting these days from the kayaking, from the yakking?
That's kind of like lats and tries, I want to say. Yeah.
You feeling like old today? What
I was. No, I was fine. I was totally fine. I worked out this morning. I was good to go.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, we're chilling, dude.
Hell yeah. Okay. Well, okay. So listeners, later on this episode, we are doing Goats and Woats. Goats and Woats is back. Don't fucking fret, all you listeners out there. We are going to be doing the Goats and Woats of TV channels today. I know it's a well-anticipated one. I think the boys are prepped for it. We're eager. We'll get to it later. But boys... I think Josh, you wanted some advice from me, right? You were looking for
not
mine and Raph to tell you how to live life. give you some secrets.
Not necessarily from you, but more so from Raph, because he's kind of, yeah. So, and this is just kind of like a general feel of like, what's like the rule of thumb? Like, it's kind of like the unwritten rule. And I want to talk about the unwritten rules of texting a girl. Okay.
Okay.
I kind of want to just get into that. So my first thing that I have, and this isn't the expectation from the girl, but also from the guy. It's a dual thing. Okay. Let's just say the girl texts me, hey, I'm going to bed. You know, have a good sleep, whatever.
Yeah.
I reply back. Yeah. Have a good night. Like, have a good sleep. And then that's it. Okay. In the morning, what's the expectation of who texts who first? Or does it even matter?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
I think if you look too much into it, then it just kind of makes things kind of weird. I don't think it matters. Like, if this is somebody that you're talking to, then it's just like one of you two is going to message whoever at the end. Like, you don't have to like fucking text them back first thing in the morning and be like, oh, good morning, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would say anytime that you start thinking about like who should text, when should they text, who, like what should they text, you're in too deep at that point. Not with the relationship, but you've just gotten like, you're too much in your own head. I think at either side, the guy or the girl, all you got to do is just not give a fuck. Like, if you want to text someone, you text them. If you want to say something, you say it. If you want to do it a certain time, you fucking do it. And if anyone ever asks any questions, if they're like, whoa, like, I found it. And like, I don't know, like 2 months later that she brings it up, she's like, dude, it was kind of weird when you would text me like 8 days in a row and you'd be like, I don't give a fuck. That's what I wanted to do. Then she's like, oh shit. Like, I don't know. I don't have this guy figured out. Like, he doesn't care what other people think.
You know, honestly, I feel like that's probably, and I genuinely mean this, Elijah, that's probably like the smartest advice I think you've ever actually said on this podcast.
Like, you've had some doozies. Like, I think I know a thing or two, but like, damn, dude.
You've also set the bar very low, so.
Yeah.
Are you saying Megan's ugly?
No, not at all. Megan knows I love Megan, so.
Okay.
Fucking so, bottle of mustard.
Now, here's my thing. Here's the other thing. Is there such thing as like being like a bad texter? And what describes that?
Yeah, I would say like people like me. There's the side that you just like you literally forget to reply probably 80% of the time. Like sometimes days. When you do, you don't engage in conversation. But like, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to be a bad texter. I actually think there's if you're a good texter, but like not an amazing human being, you need to reroute your expectations there a little bit. Right. Or like your skills. Like you need to what's the word when you start you know, in video games when you have to like you have to like choose what skills to put points under. Like, you got to fucking retract some of those texting points and put them under like social skills, maybe.
Do you think bad texting skills are immediately correlated with bad social skills?
Nearly, no, almost everything.
The opposite. Actually, no, I wouldn't say that. Well, no, actually, you know what? I would. And I would actually classify Elijah as the perfect example of this. This guy's a shit texter. Like, when you say, like, you take multiple days to reply, 100%.
You do.
Fact. But, like, when I talk to you, and again, Elijah, I'm speaking from the heart here, so don't cry on me. Like, I actually enjoy talking to you. Like, you're an actual, like, well-engaged person. Same with you, Raph. Like, same thing. Like, there's just certain ways, like, I'm like, fuck, am I texting Elijah? Like, this is such a pain in the ass. Like, that's why I'd much rather call you. So I'm actually, like, hearing your voice and I'm actually engaging with you in a different way, opposed to waiting fucking 48 hours for a reply to see if you want to golf. And I'm like, okay, you know? So it's an interesting one. But I've heard that I'm actually a bad texter in terms of, like, just, like, what I say. But then they're like, you know, you're way more interesting and just better in person. I'm like, well, that's good. I feel like that's a good thing. Like, you want that title. You know, I would much rather be a ghost on social media. But when you're like, oh, fuck, like, I never hear from Josh. But when you see him, it's like, okay, like, this is going to be good times, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you.
I think we all kind of have those personality traits, just like knowing how the three of us are. Like, we never fucking text each other back.
Totally.
But the moment we like hang out, it's just nonstop conversation.
But also at the same time, like, I read your guys' texts, like, in your voice and how you would say them. Like,
really?
Same. Raph, like, when you send me memes, like, I just picture, like, you being like, hey, Josh, look at this. As if it was like, you and I just fucking laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah. Okay, fair. Fair.
I have many small notes from that conversation. So first, if you're the person that shows me a meme in person, I will, like, I have a tough time giving you a good reaction. That's just, like, a tough spot to put me in. It should be illegal to read memes while together. Like, that's a thing you have to send to someone in different houses.
No,
it's just, No.
It's impossible. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, like, what can you do?
Elijah, you're being such a boomer. Just relax. No, just laugh at the meme.
Don't show. But after that, like, what do I do with it? I have to show you a meme now.
No, you don't.
Elijah.
No.
You know how many cat videos I've showed you and you just died?
Yeah,
but you send them to me usually. Sometimes, if we're in your basement and you're showing me them, that's because, like, Josh doesn't know how to say
you can't walk away.
Yeah, right? I would always just casually show off the tattoo. Yeah, what's up? And the pet hair. That's a good look. Second point I'll have, this is one thing I regret not being a good texter. It's what I miss out on. I have a really hard time with keeping friends that I don't see. Like, anytime someone moves away... Anytime if we, like, don't see each other regularly, like, if they're not in my friend group, even in my secondary friend group of, like I don't even know how to bring it up, but, like, just people that are not in our immediate friend group, I find it hard to keep in contact with them. Uh-huh. Just because even if I reach out and text them, oftentimes I'm the one that leave people hanging. It's fucked. So it's been
you texted me the other day asking me how my day was, and when I responded, you never got back to me.
What do you mean? Today?
Yeah.
No, dude, I totally did. I might have left you this time.
Yeah. This time, time.
Yeah, I'm a sassy guy like that, dude. If I don't like where it's going, I'll just cut it. I'll cut fucking cord right away.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
I roll. Okay, boys, should we get, before we do goats and votes, what's one thing we want to jump into? Is it Masters? Want to do some Masters talk first, or do you want to do something else?
No, let's save that until the very end.
Okay.
Like, that'll just be a quick, like, hey, give us, do the Masters pick. Raph, what did you have on your list? I mean, we have Thick Tune on the COVID list. I mean, there's not a lot to talk about. Like, nothing's changed for the Canucks. We just have another player, so that's sick. And then what else did we have on tap here, fellas? I mean, I'm trying to think.
Glad you want to talk about Burrows.
Oh, fuck yeah. That was the big one. I tweeted this out about our friend of a friend. I would call him a friend. I think he said he's going to come on the podcast after the season's over. So, local guy, Kyle Burrows, product of the Colorado Avalanche system. If you're on the Twitch chat or if you're on any chat watching this and you haven't seen it already, you could type in Kyle Burrows on a Twitter, anywhere really, and probably on the internet, you'll find his fight. The guy gets his first NHL start yesterday. He's been in the minors for, I think, 7 years so far. He's my age. I think he's a 95 Raph, so he's our age.
Yeah.
Guy's just been battling for years. I think he used to be in the Islanders system. I think he was drafted 7th round, he was the captain of the team. He was one of the last picks of the NHL draft and finally gets his chance in the NHL. He has, I think, nearly 7 minutes played. He's got a couple hits. He had a fight, dude. He fucked up Nick Bjugstad. He showed him the ropes, dude. He fucking beat him.
Dude, he was like a few inches taller than him too. Like, you can definitely see the size difference when they skate up to each other. You're like, holy hell, dude.
Yeah. That's what's crazy.
The one thing I will say is, like, watching that fight, dude, like, Burrows had that nasty fucking uppercut. Like,
dude, he just fed him.
Like, he fucking fed him. And it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
So, and, like, I've met Kyle before, and, like, I'm 6 feet, and he's not 6 feet. And Bjugstad is, like, 6'3", I think.
Yeah,
like,
at least.
And then Factor in skates.
Yeah, I love it.
Big guy.
I mean, great fight, but holy shit, like, Bjugstad, like, could barely even get his gloves off, and Burrows was just fucking pounding him, which was amazing.
Well, I wonder if big fucking Nick Bjugstad was a victim of just not knowing this guy, because, like you said, you skate by Kyle, and he's, like, he's probably 5'10", 5'11", at most.
Yeah.
And you probably think to yourself, like, okay, I don't know who this guy is. He's small. If I push him around, he's not going to do anything. Dude, Kyle's had, I think he's almost had 20 professional fights, meaning, like, AHL, NHL.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I think he's dropped him before. He knows what he's doing. So, I mean, it took him fucking one punch and he knocked this fucking Jack and the Beanstalk to the ice, dude. That was fucked.
But you know what though? Like, I'm pretty sure that was the only fight last night, so it got a lot of attention. And you know what? Yeah. Like, for a guy that is playing in his first NHL game, this guy's trying to get noticed. And what fucking better way to do that? You know, like that's
well, yeah. Chicklets shouted him out too.
Yeah, like there's
social
there's
media. Rumors, yeah,
there's rumors that like the role of the just kind of like the tough fighter on the ice is making an appearance, like it's making a comeback. I forget who the Sharks have now, but he's just
Curtis Gabriel. I think
Curtis Gabriel is just fucking pounding people into the ice right now. Like, you know, if that's making a comeback, then you know what? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what Burrows needs to be. Now, I'm not saying like I feel like that's pretty preemptive, and like, but yeah, like it's still something.
I see what you're saying. He'll never be the guy that like is the tough guy on the team. But that like the guys on Chicklets always say, if you add it to your bag, dude, just add something to your bag that allows you to stick to the next level just a bit more.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you there. It's a good 100%. Point. I'm keeping my eye out to see if he gets the call in the next game. I'll admit I have no idea what the Avs situation is. Like if it's an injury that they're doing it for, if it's a shakeup they wanted, but I'm definitely keeping an eye out. And all the Stick and Rink listeners, if you're out there, I want you to keep an eye on it for it because if it's out there, we are all betting the over on Kyle Burrows' goals in the game. If it's like, let's all just fuck the mortgage. Let's put it down. Cause that way, if he scores, we all go nuts. And if he doesn't, we're all sad pandas, but we can move on from there.
Love that. You guys want to jump into goats and votes?
Yeah, we do. We are due for some goats and votes here. Everybody's favorite segment. I'd love some intro music right about now. Ralph, it's your project. Send it. Just kidding. I'd like it though. Goats and votes of TV channels, please. Josh, start us off.
Love that. First one, boys, the fucking childhood TV for sports, TSN. TSN is the number one. Jesus. I'm pretty sure that was ESPN, but still. But nonetheless, dude, I just remember watching Jay Onright, Dan O'Toole, fucking who's the Darren Detition, Darren Drager, like just everyone is just a goat on that fucking channel. Every single person. So I'm all about it. Sorry, I said that I really like Sportsnet, but TSN is where the heart lies.
Hell yeah. Good stuff, dude.
Yeah.
We going clockwise? Am I next?
You're next, sir.
Dude, the number one TV channel of all time, the Discovery Channel.
Oh my God.
Dude, man, best TV channel ever. Tell me none of you guys ever freaked out when fucking Shark Week came on.
Shark Week was dope.
Oh, Shark Week is sick. Mythbusters, unreal. Right. Deadliest Warrior was on Discovery for a little bit, if I'm right.
That was, dude,
Discovery had some good fucking shows.
Yeah, that's fair.
With really, really, really good runs.
Yeah. Oh, God, I feel like I'm not known for this. I might have the basic bitch picks coming up. Okay, my first pick is Spike TV. I'm going out to the well that we know well.
One of my honorable mentions.
Okay, we mentioned this, and I didn't get enough time to talk about it last time, but Raph, when we were talking about We brought up TV channels, and that's how we got on this topic one time. And you mentioned MXC. Yeah. Dude, I went back and watched MXC. It's
fucking hilarious. It's so good.
Like, I was sitting there with Megan. I showed it to her. It's on Amazon Prime, I think, for anyone who's wondering. Oh, I'm pretty sure it is. And I was trying to explain to her like what it is, and I don't even know what it is. And then I looked it up. It's an old Japanese show, right?
It's a Japanese game show with an English dub, yeah.
But what's funny is the actual Japanese game show was also just as ridiculous.
Like, yeah. Like I believe you're just seeing like what they actually played, and they're just dubbing it over with English, and then it kind of gives it like a Wipeout kind of feel.
Exactly.
Like a more witty Wipeout.
It's all like right. Wipeout from Alabama or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you know someone died on that show?
On MXC?
No, on like I think Wipeout? That's originally why. No, the like the original Japanese game show. That's why they stopped running it.
No way. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Somebody 100% would have broken their neck.
Yes. All those things were not very well set up.
No. Josh.
Okay. Next one. This is the actual childhood TV channel. Fucking Family Channel, baby. Family Channel was unreal. Give me Zoe 101. Give me Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Give me fucking Sweet Life on Deck.
Yeah.
Give me Phil the Future. Give me fucking all the Family Channel smoke. And give me all the top hits of like the Disney stars of like they would always play the music video in between shows. Like you get some
stuff. Yeah.
You got some Joe Bros. Like you got so much stuff.
Josh, we have somebody in chat currently asking, who is your Family Channel crush?
Okay, Jamie Lynn Spears was a smoke in Zoe 101. Hilary Duff and Lizzie McGuire was unreal.
Hey, this isn't weird because you were young at the time too, right?
If I'm going cartoon, like Kim Possible can sit on my face any day.
Jesus.
Oh, actually, okay, there's one more. Did you guys ever watch Phil of the Future?
Yeah.
You remember AJ Michalka, the girl, like Phil's best friend?
No, it's been so long.
She has the blonde curly. Okay, have you guys ever seen Easy A?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you know Emma Stone's best friend in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, her. She was in Phil of the Future. She was unreal. Still is. She's still hot. It was like Ali and AJ. They were like twins or some shit. Moving on.
Stepbrother tension life with Derek. That's one that we got in chat.
Ashley Leggett. Oh.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I want all of it. Anyway.
Whatever. Holy hell.
All right. Is it me?
No, it's me.
It's you. Okay.
Dude, Adult Swim. What? Rick and Morty, Family Guy. Every single adult cartoon show is on Adult Swim.
I thought you were talking about like a swimming channel, and I'm like, the fuck do you
want? No, dude, it's literally like, Josh, it's all the TV shows that you and I, all the cartoons that you and I love watching on one channel.
I love that.
Like, it's actually so fucking sick. Like, you just can't. You just can't.
Do they have?
What's up?
Sorry, you were going to answer Razor in the chat?
I believe Archer is on Adult Swim. Nice. I'm not a big Archer guy, so I don't watch it.
Have you watched like a lot of the other adult animations, like the big ones, like BoJack Horseman, Archer, anything like that?
Archer I tried getting into, wasn't really my thing. No, I like the old ones. Like I like Family Guy, Futurama, American Dad, Rick and Morty. What's it called? The only other like real adult one that we got into is Big Mouth, but that was just for a couple seasons.
Like I tried to get into BoJack a couple times.
Yeah, apparently it's really good.
Yeah, I just couldn't get past the stage where it was just the show I put on when I fell asleep.
Isn't Adventure Time also on Adult Swim, I think? Adventure Time's really fun if you ever want to watch something really trippy.
Damn.
All right.
Ain't ever seen it. My next channel, we're going to get a bit fucking weird in here, dude. My next favorite channel was Showcase. I'm all about the Showcase, baby. Did you have that back in Cowtown?
Yep.
You had Showcase back in Cowtown? Yeah, dude. It was so... a couple of reasons. First, trailer. That was where Trailer Park Boys. That's where you found it in like the TV days back in the cable days. So that was always funny. Kenny versus Spenny. I was never like a huge fan, but it was kind of like, all right, that's a bit edgy.
Spenny was great.
This is where we get a bit weird, boys. This was the first time where I think experienced pornography. Just what can you do? Like that's, I don't maybe. Greatest of all time TV shows. Sometimes things are the greatest, not because of the potential they bring, but the mark they leave. And that's kind of, there was a show. Okay. I need to look up what the fucking synopsis of this show was.
Which show was it? Can you describe it?
It was called Web Dreams.
Okay.
Synopsis: delving deep into the world of internet pornography, Web Dreams captures the glitter and grime of this multi-billion-dollar industry as seen through the eyes of real life characters who inhabit it. By going beyond the seams to fill in sets, photo shoots, trade shows, launch parties, and more.
That's fun.
Yeah. That was what 12-year-old Elijah was fucking with at 11 o'clock at night. Everyone else was asleep, and I snuck down and watched Web Dreams like a weirdo.
All right. I feel that. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. My next one, or my last one, I should say, TLC. TLC had like Hoarders, What Not to Wear, Say Yes to the Dress, like all these like just funny as fuck, like Toddlers in Tiaras, like so much shit. Like when I was homesick, on a Wednesday afternoon. TLC, dude. I'm like, fuck Family Channel. I'm going to. I'm pretty sure they even had. What was the comment?
Okay. You gotta be fucking kidding me.
The Legends Dad's watching the podcast.
Did he tell you to put a shirt on?
Dude, he fucking commented in the chat. He said, cover my ears.
That's tough.
Oh, shit. Oh, I hope this upper body looks okay when it's sweaty and it's a bit red.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So, oh, no.
It's Elijah's mom.
Oh, God. Oh, good God. This is going to be so bad now. Right. Can we delete this from live right away? Is that possible?
If it makes you feel any better, my grandpa liked the video at some point on FaceTime.
Sorry, Mom. I'm trying to make millions here. I'm trying to make a name for myself, all right? Don't mind us.
Can I do like a double whammy?
Yes.
National Geographic and the History Channel.
Oh my God. Just categorize those in the Discovery Channel, dude.
Those two channels were probably the best channels ever to watch late night after like an edible or something like that. And you're just like sitting there just completely zoinked out of your mind looking at this fucking TV. They were the best because like you'd always have something that just be like super interesting that you could focus in on really hard. But also, like, it's just like it's light TV. Like, an episode ends, something new would start, and you wouldn't really be like that invested in it.
Love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. E.
I'm still shaking up, dude. I can't even focus. Fuck. Okay. You know what? I'm doing it. The TV Guide, dude. The TV Guide was sick back in the day. Did you guys ever watch that?
The what?
The TV Guide.
Just throw on the Guide channel just for fun? Yeah.
No. I wouldn't say
where the channels would just go. Like they would just go down the screen and like
yeah exactly the TV listings
yeah
okay like,
channel three was, or two
two it was two.
Two yeah two
yeah I would say that it wasn't like something that I enjoyed watching, but for some reason like having to go back and watch the TV Guide was kind of cool because I think at that point we were like yeah that's right we like outdid our parents, they used to have to order the TV Guide, now we just have it on a scroll.
Yeah,
like, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, okay. I like
Do you have any idea what's going on in chat right now?
No idea. No. I think I'm getting called out, but it's fine.
Okay. My first vote. Fucking Fox News, man. Oh, my God.
Fox News.
This fucking channel is just, in a way, it's almost entertaining. But, like, it is, like, mind-numbing when you watch it. I can't do it. Like, if you give me an hour of Fox News, like, I'm good for 2 months, if not three.
Josh, okay. Would you rather, now, let's just say something. Let's just say, like, nah, this is a fucked up scenario. I'm not going to say it. What if you woke up and your dad was Tucker Carlson? Are you a little bit pissed off? Or are you, like, enjoying the money that you guys have? Are you finally checking out under that toupee? Or are you, like,
he's mad for sure.
Oh, I don't know, dude. I think that's a tough sled. Like, I'd hate to watch that and be like, Dad, you're a fucking moron. Unless he just did it for the ratings, which I could easily see.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I think people sell themselves. They sell their souls to that kind of stuff. I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Raph?
Dude, fucking TLC. Fuck that channel.
Fuck, you stole my vote, dude.
Honey Boo Boo sucked. Johnny K plus 8 sucked.
Go ahead.
The thing about TLC is you don't even have to tell me that TLC is on. You can remove the label that says TLC, and I will know that it's TLC because all the TV shows on TLC have been exactly the same for the past 15 fucking years. Like, they're the exact same composition. Nothing has changed about them. It's just a different fucking family.
Seriously, like, I would say the tough part is, so the original concepts of the show, like the John and Kate plus 8, I want to say that was the first one. That was kind of cool. Like, it was
that
weird.
One and the and was like 18 Kids and Counting. Yeah, the Duggars or whatever.
Yeah. I think the Duggars was like a couple times past or like a couple years maybe at most, but you're right. And even just the original concept. But nowadays, dude, it's just like, hey, you got like a fucking weird family, let's make a TV show out of it. Like, I'm completely out on the sister wives stuff. I think we need to just call a spade and say, that's fucking weird, guys. Like, I think we just got to do that eventually, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a big love everybody guy, but also I'm a big like kind of say when it's weird guy. That's weird. And fuck everyone that said I look like Kyle. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay. Still kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, it's me. That's right. I was ranting and I forget it's my time to go. I'm going much TV. Never really like.
Yeah, much.
Video on trial was okay. It always just kind of felt lame because we didn't have MTV. So that was kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
What the only like video on trial was sometimes funny. The countdowns always sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm going with that one.
That's fair. It's a good shitty one.
Mm-hmm.
My next one is the fucking Food Network. I actually I fucking hate them. They're so bad. Like all you do is make me like feel like a lazy piece of shit because I don't cook for myself and I don't cook that well. Like I'm just like
you're like I will never amount to that kind of that kind of food in my life.
So and like it's so easy to make. Like it's so easy to make. Yeah, is it? Or like am I gonna be wandering around the grocery store for 45 minutes trying to find this particular spice that makes or breaks the dish? Like fuck off. Like
Josh just looks he's watching the Food Network and anytime they tell him to like simmer anything he just has no fucking idea what to do.
Dude, I'm not even fucking mad, just tell me what to do.
Anyway,
we do have a bunch of people in chat saying that Iron Chef was dope. I gotta side with them on that one. Iron Chef, probably one of there's maybe one or two good shows come out of the Food Network, but it's much like TLC, dude. They're just pandering. They're pandering too much.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
It's my turn.
Yellow card.
Yellow card. Fuck, do you get another one? You're ejected. Carl in chat called it out. City TV. Sorry, boys.
Oh, you actually are with him on that one.
100% I'm with him on that one. But then again, it's like, it's just because it's not my kind of television and I don't like it and I find that I just can't fucking do it. Like, I know you guys love The Bachelor. I know tons of people love The Bachelor.
That's on ABC. Mm-hmm.
It's also on City.
Fact. You are correct. Okay.
So. All right. Sorry, boys.
Well, I would. So the funny part about him saying that is because my sister being autistic, she kind of runs the TVs in the house right now.
Yeah.
And so like him saying City TV sucks is because they're not allowed to watch another channel on that TV. Like she'll just change it right back. So they're probably done with it. That's why. But it's progressed, dude. It's moved on from different shows over time. But now it's City TV. And I think the number one show that is on when I go over there is Hudson and Rex. So I'm kind of done with German Shepherds, dude. I'm out on German Shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up. Next up, dude, the French channel. I don't remember which one it was. I want to say it was 18. That's all I know. I think it was 18.
Oh, yeah. Mine was
just constantly French, and I was like, what a waste of a channel. Like, can we put something – put anything, dude. Just put the Weather Network without any anchor on there. That's what I'd rather have.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Okay.
Gosh.
My last one, boys. Slice. Fucking okay. TLC is one thing. Don't get me wrong. Like that's like kind of like the family stuff. Slice is like Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians, like that. If you get approached by Slice, go to hell. Sorry.
Anytime Josh sets up a comment like that, you know it's pretty much something that's cancel culture worthy. Like 100%. That's when I start tuning in. Yeah. You get me going there.
Yeah. Oh, I love how you guys probably are just on the edge of your seat. Like, come on, Josh, don't say something too stupid.
Come on. Keep the money in mind. Let's be careful.
Love that. Okay.
The BBC solely because of what they did to Top Gear. Jeremy Clarkson fucking hated the BBC the entire time. So, I mean.
Yeah, well, everyone. Well, it's just like
they're just like censoring them and just not letting them do what they want to do with the show. But
I mean,
BBC was just very like.
But I could see that happening though. Like, if even hypothetically, if Canada were to have a Top Gear, it would be on CBC. It's government owned. Like, it would be the same censorship. I think they probably just signed like a fucking lucrative deal because they probably got the most money because it's owned by government. So, but came out with censorship. So
But now they're on Amazon. World Tour, way better.
Yeah,
just let 100%. It fly, dude.
Same kind of Top Gear vibes is great.
Okay, round us off here, pal.
Okay, last one. I've got. What do I have written down here? It is. You'll find it, Elijah. Just keep looking. Don't worry. I've got down the infomercial channel. Always the worst, but kind of actually intriguing at times. The one thing about the infomercial channel, I would say, I think it was Spike TV was one of them. There's probably a couple, but there were shows that immediately went to like all from like the hours of like 1 a.m. to like 5 to 6 a.m. were just straight infomercials. The thing I'll say about it is that if you're not careful, you can quickly get roped in to being like 25 minutes of just not knowing where the time went. Because if you're for some reason interested in this pillowcase or this pillow that they're selling, you know there's a part you're hanging on to listen to, but they take so long getting to it, and it's like, oh, it's tough to break the cycle. I would say it's like crack cocaine.
I love that. All right, guys. Well, in terms of mentions, just for my goats, I've got Spike and I've got CBS. Loats, honorable mentions, YTV and Nickelodeon.
Dude, that what
in your votes, hey?
Yeah. Dude,
old school Nickelodeon was sick. I'll give you that, but YTV, I will agree with you.
Are you sabotaging yourself at the end there?
Actually, no, sorry. Nickelodeon. No, it wasn't Nickelodeon.
You're hating on Rugrats right now?
Yeah, I hated it.
Teletoon?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Teletoon didn't like it.
Yeah, interesting. Treehouse? What about Treehouse?
Treehouse was like, dude, the Berenstain Bears, dude, hook me up.
fucking slapped.
Or fucking big comfy couch, dude. You guys are the fucking, what are you guys? The fucking dust bunnies. That's what Elijah looks like right now. Is the girl dust bunny. The big comfy couch.
Oh, yeah.
Fair. Hey, shout out my dad. Always used to read Berenstain Bears to me to bed. Solid guy.
Dude, I always got the books from the library. The Berenstain Bears, baby.
Yep. You ever fuck with Double Dare, the ones with the watermelon on the cover?
Yep.
Yeah, those are good.
Yep.
Anyway.
Shout out. Okay, let's round this. We have one more thing. We got to do Masters picks, right?
Yes.
Raph, do you have a Masters pick ready?
You can't say
Chambo.
Fuck you.
After him just fucking launching nukes at that warm up, dude, he's fucking he's ready to go.
Okay, should we talk about this video real quick? Because I've mentioned it once on the podcast or in our friend group where this is apparently, I think, after he plays a practice round, this is what he does.
He just cranks him.
He just cranks. Doesn't even give a fuck where it goes. He just cranks it, puts another one down, and he looks like he's a weightlifter out there.
Yeah, like, it's actually insane.
There's two parts to this video that I found hilarious. Number one is obviously fucking Bryson DeChambeau, just like what are like dinger, like 350 down the middle, catches the ball on the tee, dinger, 350 down the middle.
Yeah.
The second part that made me cry was you just had Vijay Singh just like watching him, like the 68-year-old man, like still on the PGA tour, like just watching, like, holy fucking shit. I was crying.
Like Vijay used to play before anyone fit came in. Like he was, it was like when Tiger came in, he's like, oh shit, there's a fit guy, we're all fucked. And now he's like, dude, where is this sport gone? Like, who is this meathead?
Yeah.
Okay, so Masters pick, I'm going to say Victor Hovland.
Victor Hovland, good choice. What's the thought there?
Honestly, I don't really even know. I like him. I think he's just like a fan favorite, so I'm rooting for him. I think he's going to start to turn himself into like the next Ricky Fowler.
He's a pretty young guy, right?
He is. He's like 23, 20, 22, I want to say.
Hovland, he kind of sounds like an F1 racer there, eh, Josh?
Yeah, a little bit.
I've heard a little something from people that Rory is not the choice. Rory is quoted as saying his swing is off right now. That's not something you want to hear from a guy you're about to bet on. So
where's Morikawa at?
Morikawa is
the favorite for sure.
He's the favorite.
He's not the favorite.
He's not the favorite, but he's one of them for sure.
I'm not sure who the exact favorite is, but I know Dustin Johnson is probably numero
uno. DJ's one, Spieth is two.
Yeah, and apparently Koepka is going to play, and he's going to give it a shot. And anytime Koepka's in a major, you always got to watch out for him.
Well, he was quoted that he can't even, like, when he's reading a putt, like, he can't be in, like, a catcher's position, like, in the squatting because his knee's still fucked up. So he's going to be, like, you know, like, when a catcher is, like, setting up outside and their leg is, like, one leg's, like, out, but it's straight, and, like, the other knee is bent? that's what he's going to be doing. So we'll see. That, but like,
that's must watch TV there, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Josh, what do you got?
For what?
Oh, you did Hovland. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm all spaced out here. I'm wrestling. I'm gonna go Tony Finau. I think he's gonna. Dude, the guy's played some phenomenal golf this year, and we know the story with him.
You know, there's a curse.
I know there's a curse, but very rarely do these curses last throughout an entire career. So, made 11 of 13 cuts this year. I will be drafting him on my DraftKings team. Promo code THPN at sign up. Tony Finau, that's the pick, guys. Another news and note: I think John Rahm had his baby. I've been updating this every episode. I've been saying, don't choose John Rahm. He's going to have a baby. No, but I think he had a baby.
Yeah.
Okay. So back on the John Rahm wagon, right?
Maybe. Not really sure about him.
All right. John Rahm going to take it home. There you go. Episode 35 of Stick and Ring Podcast. Thank you for listening, everybody. We will be in touch with you in about 5 days. So... Oh, Thursday listeners, about 3 days, 4 days, something like that. See you soon, guys.